hope you brought your hearing aids. Open your Bibles tonight, the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. It sounds bad, but don't worry. There's no pain involved, so.
Amen.
Maybe the pain's on your end, but not on my end.
Put your mic on.
I was supposed to do that. High tech stuff. Life is worth living with Jesus. Without Him, I can't imagine life without Him. Okay. Hebrews chapter 3. Once again, I'll spare you all the introduction and we'll just get right to the message. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for life and eternal life.
Amen.
Bless your word to us tonight. Give me strength and voice enough to make your word clear. Have mercy on us today. Meet with us tonight, Lord.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The deceitfulness of sin. What I had to say probably has been said many, many times in many, many places. But here we are in the 21st century and man hasn't figured it out yet.
Right.
He still falls in the same traps and the same, believes the same lies. And no matter how many people before us have fallen in the same traps, we just keep doing the same exact things over and over again. So that's why Paul says to write the same things to you. For me it's not grievous, and for you it is safe. You need to hear it again.
That's right.
I need to hear it again.
Amen.
The deceitfulness of sin. You know what makes sin so attractive? I don't think that it takes a college education to figure it out. This verse tells us pretty easily what it is, pretty clearly. It's deceitful. It doesn't tell you everything.
That's right.
That's the whole problem. That's why sin is so attractive. That's why a lot of people lose their shirt on investments, because it looks attractive, but they don't have all the information. They don't know what's, you know, going to be in tomorrow's newspaper. So they take a chance and they lose their shirt sometimes. But sin is attractive because you don't have all the information. The problem in the Garden of Eden was not so much what Satan, Lucifer, said to Eve, it's what he didn't say to Eve. I mean, you know, we know he said some pretty stupid things like, you know, yeah, yes, God said, you know, did God really say that? Well, I think that was pretty clear. They heard God. God spoke to them. But he planted that seed of doubt. And then he said, no, you're not going to die.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, you're going to be his God. It's going to be a good thing. You ought to try this. It's really, there's something in there for you. It's worth doing this. You won't regret it. But what the real problem was, what he didn't say.
Yes.
He didn't say, you'll be banished from this garden forever. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you'll be living with toil and sorrow and pain for the rest of your lives. He didn't say that. He didn't say, your son is going to kill his brother. He didn't say, you're going to plunge the whole human race into sin and death and destruction and sorrow. None of that was said. And that's what makes sin so attractive. It's what you don't know about it. It's what the devil doesn't show you. It's what you maybe choose not to investigate, maybe. You just don't want to find out.
Yeah.
Maybe you know what may be down the road, but you just choose to just block it out, maybe.
Amen.
And that's how it works. That's how it works even today. The devil doesn't tell us everything. He doesn't say, if you choose this road, you will destroy your family. You'll destroy your marriage. He doesn't say, if you make this decision, your children are going to be rebellious and you will have sorrow to the day you die. He doesn't say, if you choose to just stay out of church, I mean, you're going to lose so many blessings. You just can't imagine the problems you're going to have. He doesn't tell you all that. He doesn't tell you you lose your testimony. You don't lose the joy and peace that comes from living for God.
Amen.
It's the deceitfulness of sin.
Yep, that's right.
It's just painting, a nice, pretty picture as if we really need, even today, we need somebody to inform us of all the possible problems that can come about of our bad decisions. I don't think we were really can say we need to hear that, but at the same time, I guess we do because we keep making the same dumb mistakes.
Yep.
Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 2:11. That feels better. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. I hope that after tonight, you'll be a little less ignorant.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Now, it's very possible that I'm the most ignorant here of all of us, so I'm not going to say that you need to hear something from me that nobody else has told you. But the fact is, we need to not be ignorant of what the devil does to destroy our marriages, our homes, our churches, our testimonies, our lives, our future, our children, our grandchildren.
Amen.
We need to wise up because he has got some really tricky devices and it has tripped up the most powerful of the powerful in the earth. Okay, so you're not immune to it.
Amen.
Chapter 11, also, 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So we have a serpent who beguiles, who is subtle, who doesn't tell you exactly what's going to happen. He doesn't paint the whole picture. He doesn't give you everything. He gives you what you want to hear. He gives you what sounds good. But you don't get the whole picture.
That's right.
And just to remind you, in case anybody here is wondering what's the big deal, there is no bright side to sin. Okay? There's nothing positive about sin.
That's right.
I don't care what you can tried to bring out of the bad decisions you made in your life and say, well, you know, God turned it around. That's great. But I think God could have done that without the sin, couldn't He? Yeah, God has mercy. Yes, it's great. And I'm so glad that God's a merciful God and that, you know, He has ways to bring redemption and just reaches down and takes control of situations that are bad and somehow makes something good come out of it. But that does not mean that, you know, we're going to condone bad decisions.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
The wages of sin is death, no matter how you slice it. Okay? Sin is always bad.
Amen.
It's always going to hurt.
Amen.
It's going to bring pain and sorrow and destruction. And you're going to be hurt by it every time.
Amen.
There's no way to paint sin in any kind of favorable light.
That's right.
So let's not be of the persuasion of the power of positive thinking and just, you know, try to see the silver lining in all this destruction of sin. No, there's nothing pretty about sin at all. Well, several things I want to show you tonight, and I won't do all of them, obviously, because I probably wouldn't last, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth,
amen,
take heed lest he fall.
Amen.
One way the devil deceives us is that he makes us think that we're strong.
Right.
He tells you that, yeah, you can handle this.
Amen.
Others might not handle this temptation, but you can handle this temptation. You can flirt with this temptation. You're strong enough. You've been saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years. No problem. You know how to handle it. You can do it with your eyes closed. Come on.
Amen.
You think you're immune to something that the most powerful, the most mature Christians have fallen to? Look, if you think, the problem is here, we think we stand, we think we're strong, but we're not strong. We are weak vessels. We are just pitiful vessels.
That's right.
And without the grace of God and the strength of God, we have no hope. And we start trusting in ourselves and thinking that we know how to do it. We've been through this. We know the drill. We know what to do. Hey, look at King David. You're not strong enough.
Amen.
You never will be strong enough.
Amen.
You're going to have the struggle for sin until the day you die. Well, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now this is a different deceit. This time the devil says, you just have to give in. You're just too weak. You just have no choice. You have to give in. But it says here that all temptation is common to man. God gives way to escape. You have no excuse to fall into sin. Now, that may sound like a contradiction and say that you're weak and then say that you can resist. But God says, even though you're weak, He gives you a way to escape. But the devil says sometimes, look, you've been struggling against this temptation for so long, you can't hold out any longer. You just got to give in. It's a bunch of baloney. It's a lie. God gives a way to escape.
Thank you, Lord.
God gives ways to resist temptation.
Amen.
God gives ways to escape. He gave Joseph a way out. He just ran. Maybe that's the way you've got to find the escape. But God gives a way to escape. Don't believe the lie that I'm just weak. Well, yeah, you are weak. But God said He'll strengthen you and give you a way to escape. So don't believe that lie either. Incidentally, I'm not talking about just the sins that maybe conjure our mind when we talk about this subject. We think about, this fornication and adultery, and hey, how about pride, and how about envy, and how about maliciousness, and how about filthiness, and did I ever say envy? I'm not sure if I said it or not, but I think I did. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say? It's not just the big black sins that we think about. Hey, sin is around every corner, just lurking and trying to trip you up. Whether it's adultery or pride or gossip or vengeance, whatever it may be, there's no reason to say that you just couldn't resist. God gives a way to escape. Now, I want you to look at a few verses now. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. We'll start with verse 2. And this is a good place to start every day. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When's the last time you strove against sin so much, to such a degree, that you had to actually shed blood to resist sin?
All right, amen.
You tell me you've been fighting against sin, but you haven't shed any blood. Jesus shed His blood. He resisted against sin all the way to the cross. He was tempted to return evil for evil. He was tempted to cry out. He was tempted to call down angels. He was tempted like all of us,
That's right. It
says. And yet He resisted.
Amen.
And you tell me you've resisted? How much have you resisted? Maybe 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Oh, I just couldn't resist any longer.
Right.
Come on. He says here, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So what's your excuse? You have no excuse. I have no excuse. If we haven't had to even shed blood in resisting sin,
Right. We
have no right to cry and say, God, I just couldn't help it. Don't tell God you couldn't help it. You're calling God a liar because God said He gives a way to escape every time. Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. How hard do we resist the devil? When we're tempted to gossip, when we're tempted to be vengeful, when we're tempted to be a little bit dishonest, how much do we really resist? And how many times do we say, I just couldn't help it? I mean, come on, who do you think I am? Or who do you think anybody else is? You think we don't face the same temptations that you face? You think only you have these kind of temptations? It says there that they're all common to man.
Yes, right.
So, these temptations are faced by our brethren all over the world.
That's right.
Now, maybe you can say that in this assembly, maybe you have the most temptations, but I can take it to some people that have a whole lot more troubles in serving Jesus Christ than any of us do. I mean, they're faced with some really, real serious trials and temptations in order to serve Jesus. I mean, they put their lives on the line every day. And they resist temptation. They're willing to go to the prison. They're willing to go to their death.
Yes.
And what do? And we just give in at the first sign of weakness. We just give in.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Well, another one is defined in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. You know the story? Abraham and Lot are together, but they have so much they can't dwell together because they have so much that all their shepherds are fighting over everything. And so Abraham decides, look, this is not going to work. We just have too much together. We have to split up. You go one way, I'll go the other way. And he lets Lot choose first. And Lot lifts up his eyes and he looks. And he sees green. He sees dollar signs. He sees prosperity. He sees a good investment. He says, wow, look at that plain of Jordan. I mean, well, I could be a rich man in no time. And that's what sin does. It shows you a good investment, a good return. He says, look, this is really worth the investment. If you do this, you will be happy. You will be prosperous. You will have what no one in your family ever had. You will just be happier than you could ever imagine. But is that the case? The Bible says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And if you sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. But you know, the devil makes sin sound so beautiful and so attractive. I'm reminded of the... I read a letter that was sent in to Ann Landers by a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, think about these commercials that advertise alcohol, booze. It sounds so cool. And make it look so, so exciting and so attractive. And it's just like you're going to have all the friends in the world and it's the high life and you're going to be so happy. Listen to what this person wrote in. He said, we drank happiness and became unhappy. We drank for joy and became miserable. We drank for sociability and became argumentative. We drank for sophistication and became obnoxious. We drank for friendship and made enemies. We drank for sleep and awakened without rest. We drank for strength and felt weak. We drank medicinally and acquired health problems. We drank for relaxation and got the shakes. We drank for bravery and became afraid. We drank for confidence and became doubtful. We drank to make conversation easier and slurred our speech. We drank to forget and were forever haunted. We drank for freedom and became slaves. We drank to erase problems and saw them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invited death. That's what the devil doesn't tell you.
That's right.
Until it's too late. Doesn't tell you that. Doesn't give you that side of the story.
Yeah, that's right.
Gives you all the good stuff. Doesn't show you the drunk in the alley and lying in his vomit and no family and his kids hate him and marriage is shot. No, you never hear that. Because he says, look, it's a good investment. You can't lose. You can't win. You just can't win. You will pay. And you'll pay with interest. You'll sow the wind and you'll reap the whirlwind. Look in Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 8. Well, let's see. Let's start with verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. How many times must God tell us these things before we understand? These words were written a long, long time ago.
Yep.
Can anybody here say, no, that's a bunch of baloney. Come on. Who believes that kind of rubbish? That's a fairy tale. Come on, we all know this stuff happened. We all know the sorrow and the effects of fornication and adultery and drunkenness and all these kinds of living. And yet, day after day, people, even with college educations, fall in the same trap. Why? The deceitfulness of sin. If you think you can play with sin, you think you can play with alcohol and with fornication and with pornography, you think you can play with these kinds of sins and not be touched, not be hurt by them, not be damaged by them, and have no effect on your life, you are kidding yourself.
Amen.
There is a law of nature that's very, very simple. What you sow, you reap.
Amen.
And you're not going to be the exception. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Maybe your mama told you you're exceptional, but you're not going to be the exception.
Amen.
Maybe your mom thinks you're just the best thing in the world. Oh, we know better. You're not an exception. You're going to get hurt.
Amen.
You're going to pay the price.
Amen.
And you're going to be sorry. And you're going to say, just like this proverb says, how have I hated instruction?
Yes, sir.
You know how many people have said that over the years? You have any idea? You won't be the first and you won't be the last.
Right. Amen.
So why not learn from somebody else?
Amen.
Why not say, hey, I guess I shouldn't try that one. That's already been tried. That didn't work. I better find something else that works better.
Amen.
God's way works better.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It really does.
Amen.
Why don't you just give it a try?
Amen.
Why don't you quit giving in to temptation, quit believing the lies of the devil, and believe the truths of God's Word,
Amen.
That you will reap what you sow. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. Verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You just thought you had it all figured out. God put a little monkey wrench here. He says, not only all these things like, you know, drunkenness and pride and envy and adultery, sin, but not doing the good things is also sin. You thought you had it all figured out? Well, guess what the devil does here? The devil tells you, first of all, he says that was a good investment to do the wrong things. But then when it comes to the good things, it's not, that's a bad investment. It's not worth doing good things. It's not worth serving God. It's not worth reading your Bible. It's not worth praying. It's not worth serving God. It's not worth preaching the gospel. It's not worth doing what God wants you to do. That's a waste of time. You'll get nothing out of it.
That's what he says.
It's a bad investment, he says. Why bother? What are you going to get out of it? Well, that's another lie.
Yes, it is.
Because it is a good investment.
Amen.
Serving God is a good way to invest your life.
Amen.
What other possible thing could be better than giving your life to serve the Almighty Creator?
Amen.
What could be better?
Amen.
You're going to serve yourself? You're going to serve your company? You're going to serve sin? You're going to serve money? I mean, what could possibly be better than serving the very God who created you?
Amen.
There's nothing better.
That's right.
But the devil says, nah. Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians 6:8 says, we'll start with verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there's a negative aspect to the sowing and reaping, and there's a positive aspect. Yeah, you will reap the whirlwind if you sow the wind. But God says if you sow to the Spirit, if you use your life, your time, your energy, your gifts, your talents to do something for God, not for yourself, not for your own glory, not for your own advancement, but for God's glory, He says you will reap life everlasting. You will have something in eternity to show for it.
Amen.
The devil says, what could you possibly get out of this? What good could come out of reading your Bible, going to church, preaching the gospel, witnessing to people at work? What good could come out of it? Well, God says there is eternal reaping to be had for giving your life, using your time, doing something for God instead of for yourself.
Amen.
Many times we don't because we believe the lie of the devil who says, it ain't worth it. What's the point? Especially when you try it a few times and you don't see any fruit.
Right. Amen.
You know, you don't feel very good about it, or somebody laughs at you, or somebody, you know, mocks you.
Right.
And you think, that was Not what I expected. I'll try something different. I don't like that. Again, that's the devil's lie.
Yeah, that's right.
Just take God's word and believe it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Excuse me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Some of you here tonight may have gotten discouraged about living for the Lord, about living for God, about trying to raise your children to serve God and to worship God. And you may think that it's really not worth it. You don't see much benefit. You don't see much fruit. It's like, I don't see much happening. It's not what I expected it to be.
Amen. Amen.
Be steadfast.
Amen. Amen.
Because the devil is going to do everything he can to make you give up.
Yes.
And everything he can to make you change courses, make you quit. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do for the Lord, whatever you do by faith in God's word, whether it's at work, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your family, whether it's in the church, whatever you do for the Lord, for His glory, it's not in vain. And you may not see anything in this life. You may not see the fruit that you wanted to see. You may not get all the accolades and all the pats on the back. But your labor is not in vain. God keeps good books. Don't worry. One day, probably more than one of us will be surprised and thinking, wow, that person got that many rewards. I never imagined it. Yeah, because God keeps books differently, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe the one that looks like he's doing a whole lot doesn't get much reward, and the one who's just in the corner, we don't know, but he's praying with nobody watching him. Just do what God tells you to do, and don't believe the devil when he tells you it's a bad investment.
Amen.
Anything you do for God is a good investment.
Amen.
Well, Judges in chapter 16. Judges 16, and we'll read verse. Let's start when verse 16. Judges 16:16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head. I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once. He has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What a tragic story.
Yeah, it is.
Such potential. And yet, it seems to me that Samson, like many others, believed the lie that you can get away from God and come back and pick up right where you left off. Like nothing had ever happened. I'm going to, what did he say? I will go out as at other times before. I had my little fling, and I'm going to, just like other times, I can come right back where I left off. I got it all figured out. That's not how it works.
Amen.
Sin has its consequences.
Amen.
And those consequences, you can't avoid them. I mean, it's not like a computer game where you just hit the restart button and you just start all over, or you hit the back button. You know, there's not on your computer, some computer program, you get lost. Oh, just go back. Okay, good. Go back. Now I can start over again. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Amen.
You fall into temptation, you give in to temptation, and you go off and you sin against God, and you sin against your wife, you sin against your husband, you do some things that are wrong, you're going to have pay the price for it.
Amen.
You can't just say, okay, I'm going to confess it, and everything is fine. Well, you know, God forgives, but it doesn't mean there are any scars left.
Amen.
It doesn't mean there are any shame left.
Amen.
You can't just pick it all up and just go on like nothing ever happened.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to say that people are going to hold grudges. You're going to have scars.
Amen.
You're going to have to live with yourself.
Amen.
You're going to live with the shame and the dishonor.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to live with the regret.
That's right.
And you're going to be regretting it until the day you die.
That's right.
Just
Amen.
Like the one in Proverbs, how have I hated instruction? Oh, I didn't have to do it that way. There were consequences for Adam and Eve, and for Lot, and for David, as well as for Samson. Years ago in Warsaw, there was a campaign I'll say they passed a new law, an ordinance, that any billboards that advertised cigarettes had to have like something like 25% or 35% of the billboard had to be warning about the dangers of smoking. So they had these huge billboards advertising smoking, but you know, the bottom third of the billboard or more was, you know, white background, huge black letters. Warning, smoking causes cancer and heart disease. All the billboards, I mean, these billboards of cigarettes are all over the place. I mean, every billboard had this. Just couldn't miss this warning. Even the cigarette packages themselves had them on the cigarette packages. But one day as I was riding the bus into town, and I looked up and I saw this billboard, and it, of course it says, you know, smoking causes cancer and heart disease, and then you had the advertisement for the cigarettes. It was just their slogan, enjoy the moment. And even then, I doubt very many people, if anybody, caught on. No, even if you tell man what is going to happen more times than not, that's okay.
Right.
It's worth the risk.
Amen. Right.
I can just stop anytime. I can put it down anytime. I can quit anytime. I can wake up and go right back where I started. Don't kid yourself.
Amen.
That's not how it works.
Amen.
There's no reset button.
That's right.
There are some real sorrow and some real tragedy.
Yes, sir.
And you'll pay dearly.
Yes, sir. That's right.
John chapter 2. I have more, but I'll just leave you with one more tonight.
Go ahead, brother. We need it. Amen.
First John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not.
Amen.
Now, isn't that good advice?
Yeah.
Have you ever told your kids that? Son, don't sin today. It's pretty good advice, isn't it? That's putting it right across the plate.
Yeah.
Don't sin today.
Yeah,
just don't do it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, some people believe the lie of the devil that it's simply too late. They've already blown it. They made a mess of their lives. They've destroyed their lives, their family, their marriage, and it's just too late. Nothing they can do about it. So why bother trying? I mean, I'm sure many of us have met these kind of people on more than one occasion. People who have just wasted their lives on drugs or alcohol or in adultery and just rebelled against God day after day after day. Do not believe the lie of the devil that it's too late to turn back, to turn away from sin and turn to God and ask God for forgiveness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you'll have scars. Oh, but there's a big difference between scars and hell.
Yes, sir.
I'll take scars any day over an eternity in hell.
That's right. Amen.
And do not believe the lie of the devil tonight. It says, no, I'm just, it's not worth it. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I'm just too weak. I'm just too far gone. There's no way. Hey, there is a way. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He gave His life for you. And He knows your sin. He knows where you've been. He knows it all. And He gave His life so you could be saved.
Amen. Amen.
We have an advocate.
Amen.
If any man sin, if anybody here says, that can say, no, I haven't sinned, that's not for me, I don't need to hear that. Hey, you all need to hear that.
Amen.
And if you're here tonight, and you know that you're a sinner, and if you don't know you're a sinner, come on.
Amen.
Just listen to that conscience you've got.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't have to convince you that you're a sinner. Your conscience tells you every day.
Yes, it does.
When you lay down in bed at night, you know you've done some wrong things. When you lay down in bed at night, you know you could have acted, you could have spoken differently to your wife, to your husband. You know you could have acted differently on the road today, driving down the street. You know you shouldn't have told that lie. You know you shouldn't have looked at that pornography. You know you shouldn't have been doing the things you did today. You know you are. You don't need anybody to convince you. You're a sinner. God Himself gave you a conscience, and you know you've done wrong.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Guilty. Amen.
God says we have an advocate.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
He not only gave you a conscience, He gave you an advocate.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
He gave you a Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
He gave you someone that died for you.
Amen.
He shed His blood for you.
Amen.
So you could be forgiven and cleansed and eternally changed. By the grace of God, you can be saved today.
Amen.
From all penalty of sin.
Yes. Amen.
And in this life, yeah, you'll have some scars. Like all of us do. None of us are perfect. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
Glad to be on the way to heaven by the grace of God.
Amen.
We don't pretend to be better than anybody else. We don't pretend to be holier than anybody else. We're just forgiven by the grace of God.
Amen.
And you can be forgiven too.
Thank you, right.
You can have today the assurance of all your sins being forgiven. You can have today the blessedness of knowing that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Not because of something you can do or because you're better than somebody else, but by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Salvation is an amazing,
Amen.
Amazingly simple thing. And when I say simple, I don't mean easy. Okay, don't get me wrong. I don't mean it's just, okay, I want to be saved and you're saved. No, I mean that it's simple and that it's not complicated.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to read 15 books.
Yes.
You don't have to go through 14 weeks of catechism.
That's right.
It's not complicated.
Right.
You simply have to realize and admit to God what He already knows, that you're a sinner. And put your faith in His Son as your only Savior. Put your faith in His blood, and what He did for you. And God says, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Is there anything better than that?
No, sir.
God, the very God whom you offended because of your sin, He Himself is willing to forgive you. He did all the work to forgive you. He gave His own Son for you.
Amen.
He didn't say you have to do this and this and this. He did all the work. He said, here's my Son, and He'll die for you. And all you have to do is admit how really, really wicked you are and ask Him to forgive you without trusting in anything else. That's salvation. And you can have it today by the grace of God and by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Why don't you do it? What are you waiting for? What could possibly be better than that? What pleasure of sin, what satisfaction from sin could be better than living with God for all eternity in a glorified body?
Amen.
Is anything better than that? I mean, come on, how long are you going to live?
All right, yes, sir. Amen.
And how long can you maintain this kind of living and be healthy?
Right.
I mean, you're going to be paying dearly in this life for the rebellion against God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
God offers you eternal life.
Yes.
You'd
Amen.
Be a fool to reject it. You'd be a fool to turn God's gift of salvation away. Because what? Because you want a little bit more fun in this life? Doesn't make much sense to me. The Bible says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What could you possibly gain in this life? I mean, let's face it. I don't think anybody here is like a Warren Buffett, right? You're not going to have, millions and gazillions of dollars in the near future. What could you possibly gain in this life that would make it worth it to spend eternity in hell?
Amen.
Warren Buffett should get saved too if he's not saved. All his gazillions of dollars won't do him any good in hell.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?
Amen.
There is no profit. There is no reason for it.
Amen.
God offers everlasting life. And by through His Son, call Him today and you'll be saved.
Amen.
Amen.